Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The Trippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hit Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes at night.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We got all the welcome and listeners out of great radio stations like Bayou 95.7 in New Orleans. Also our friends at 96.5 WCMF, Rochester's Classic Rock at 1210 The Man.
Yeah.
In Miami, Florida. Big show for you today. It is our random question. Question 844-999-OLA.
Okay, a couple things happened here. I had said, look, man, I will just get out of the house, right? Because everyone's in lockdown, et cetera, et cetera. If you have kids or you determine that you actually don't like your spouse or you hate your roommate, whatever it is, people are doing everything they can to get outside. And I said, look, man, there's a reason why when you're growing up, dad would wash the car all the time. And it's because you, as a kid, you're inside. So I said, man, jokingly, I said, hey, I'll wash anyone's car. A lot of people are now asking for my address because they want to drop their dirty ass cars off.
You can drop it off at my house. If you trim the tree in front of my house, I'll wash your car.
Ooh, that's a deal.
You trim my bush and I'll wash your car. I'll buff your car. You trim my bush. That's a deal.
Are we landscaping or are we manscaping?
I need to get like a couple branches cut down.
Landscaping.
I mean, it's not really landscaping. I mean, more like arbor work.
When you say trim my bush, there's one of two things.
I can trim the bush.
Okay, then
this is a tree trim.
Yeah. So people are they're offering this. I'll be about Saturday. You can clean it for me. Thanks, Aphromethium.
Get it.
As far as projects that people have started as a result of the lockdown. A lot of the people are not going to work. We're finding either we're revisiting passions we had before or discovering new things about ourselves. So this guy says, look, projects that we started during lockdown, we started building bat houses to curb our mosquitoes.
That's a good idea.
What is a bat?
Oh, bats eat everything flying at night.
I know.
Is this really the time to start a bat house?
No, I understand that they do that.
It's a bat cave, Ted.
But I wouldn't know how. What do I construct that lets bats know that they can hang out there to eat my bugs? Like, I hear what you're saying, but how do I...
I don't know.
All right. They also say, the same person says, and we're making our own fertilizer out of goat ass.
All right. I'm sure it works.
You should.
Yeah.
Oh, people are saying terrible things. Random. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
I'm sorry, Dad. May the fourth be with you.
Hola.
Hola. Welcome to the show. And on behalf of Ted, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Up it up.
Hey, guys, before we go any further, I wrote into you guys. I probably should have done this to the We're Open Seattle, but if you want a great steak, the Keg Steakhouse in Linwood is open for takeout.
Okay. All right. Good to know. That's good to know. All right. Let's see here. They've been around for a while. There's a couple keg locations in the area. Let's see.
By the way, Robin just showed me a picture of a bat house that you can buy for your own home.
I'm real interested. Okay, let's go.
Is it wrong to ask for an inappropriate question?
An inappropriate question? I mean...
We're going to ask the Star Wars guy.
I mean, all right, I'll ask.
It's the...
They deserve it, Ted.
Talk about the time.
inappropriate question.
Okay, Star Wars themed. Is IG-88's penis long and thin like his body?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, no way. Random,
if you got to design AG-88, right?
You know who he is? He's tall and he's lanky.
It's a bounty hunter droid. But I say, hey, the one stipulation, he has to have a penis. Is it short and stubby? Is it long and thin like Miles says? Because this is up to you. I just say, look, I need him to be a bounty hunter, but in the end, he also needs genitalia.
Some people prefer a little bit more thicker, but you know what I mean? Than the long and skinny one.
I don't know. Okay.
All right, let's say it's your IG-88, man. I'd have made him stacked.
Exactly. Look at the hog on that bounty.
In fact, every time he waited for instructions, his hands would be on his little droid hips. He'd be a complete show-off about it. Right. Hello, Johnny. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. Johnny, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's give you this one. Johnny, what did you once own in your lifetime or have for a brief period of time that you wish you could get back and still own to this day?
There's a knife that I hid. I hid it because I thought the cops were coming, and it was illegal.
What made your knife illegal?
It was a switchblade type thing, but it came out from the... It didn't slip out. It just dabbed out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure do. Comes out the top, like a little saber.
Why is that illegal, but a regular knife is not?
I don't know. I hid it at my mom's house, along with a pipe. It was a face, right? It was this clay sculpture, something or another.
Yeah, I've seen it. It looks like the Eastern Island, basically, kind of sculpture.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing I smoked out of a Miles' car right before he hit a BMW in a parking garage.
Know your bowls. I'm very well familiar with that.
You know what, man? I will say this. A listener to the show, and it's very cool, and I still have it. Before weed was legalized, and I've never cared whether it's legal or not, I'm going to smoke. But before it was legalized, a guy had made me a little pipe. But the pipe that he made was an exact replica of my face.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think is, if the cops were to storm my house and I go into my denial about smoking weed, they'd be like, bro, it looks like you, right? Just understand. You can have a bong, you can have pipes, and there's always the, I really didn't know. But I always felt that at the point they break in and go, it looks like you, complete with a hat. Then I smoke with you.
The reason we asked, what did you own that you wish you could get back? This is kind of funny, but not really funny, but it is intriguing to some degree. Latvia skies have been closed to long-distance flights because a military-grade drone is uncontrolled and lost somewhere above the Eastern European nation. Nobody knows where it is. A local news site reported over the weekend that a test flight went disastrously wrong when a Latvian drone lost control of one of the remote-controlled aircraft. The experimental vertical takeoff and landing aircraft was reportedly being test-flown when ground personnel lost communication with it.
Oops. Okay.
The news site added that the factory that makes it also supplies drones for the needs of the Latvian army. The news agency added, during a controlled test flight on Saturday, communication with an unmanned aerial vehicle owned by the drone manufacturer was lost. The company's representative confirmed that the aircraft can fly for up to 90 hours and added that its gliding in orbit depends on the wind. So if Saturday is 24 hours and Sunday is 24 more and today we're here... Thing's still going to be up there till tomorrow, technically.
Maybe they shouldn't call it a controlled flight if by definition, you lost control.
Mm-hmm. It took off with fuel for 90 hours of flying time. Typically, meaning basically, the Latvian airspace as we know it will be closed for the rest of the week unless the rogue drone is found somewhere. But it's just up there flying.
Are they just going to drop out?
They don't know.
It armed with guns?
It's top secret. They're not saying what the thing's got on it, but it's got enough stuff on it where they don't know if it was hijacked. That's a possibility. Somebody could have hacked into it and stole it. They don't know if it's flight. They don't know anything.
The problem is this. They think that right now might be at only 600 feet. So the fact that they can't pick it up on radar.
That's why.
They're like, we have to shut down the airspace. Because you might just take off. There might be nothing wrong with the drone other than the fact that it's afloat. But you take off on a plane and hit this thing like hitting a goose, right? Rips the plane apart, people die. So for 90 days, we just can't do anything because we don't know where this thing is. And even then, they need some kind of confirmation that it came down and crashed.
Yeah, they haven't found it yet.
Like 90 random, hours was roundabout.
Random. Pretty crazy.
Random, is that a controlled random, flight?
It's like losing your dog.
Random, but you don't know if your dog is rabid.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem. Like, okay, it's not that, hey, just lost dog, we put up the poster. You also point out, my dog might bite you and give you rabies. We just don't know.
Right, that's the big difference.
So don't walk outside for 90 hours. Hello, Emmett. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Whoop.
Oh,
hang
oh,
on. Hang on.
Uh-oh.
We got it.
Almost there. It's almost there.
Yes.
Okay, but here is a scientific question that only you can answer, and only you only, because everybody has their own individual thing. What is your personal hangover cure?
I think it's a pretty common one. Greasy food and coffee and maybe a soda.
What specifically?
Or another beer.
What specifically greasy food-wise?
I just like going to whatever small cafe is in the town that I'm in. Usually I'm getting hammered with my buddies in my hometown, so we go to the Sandwood Cafe and eat some good grub there.
Well, but here's, are you going like bacon? Are you going eggs? Are you going
hamburger?
Bacon and eggs? Right.
Oh yeah. Usually kind of a plate of everything.
All right.
So where you go?
And then you mix it all together. Shove a bunch of hot sauce on it and shove it down your mouth.
And typically after that, you go back home and you go to bed.
Yeah, a lot of times. Yeah,
you know, I
swear by Pedialyte.
Do you like breakfast food on a hangover? Or do you guys like lunch?
Breakfast.
I like breakfast food.
I'm all about the lunch. I want a hamburger, really? French fries, cheese steak. I need it because I want to get a soda. Because I think the soda is part of the cure for me. And if I get breakfast, I always get coffee and orange juice.
Let's get soda.
But it's weird to have eggs in a Coke.
It is weird, but
you know what I mean.
It's fine.
That is not an excuse.
What? You can't have soda with breakfast.
Sure you can.
Yeah, you can.
I've never had it. No, you can't.
Why? People drink caffeine anyway.
Is that why you bitch and moan so much about there's not 24-hour burgers at a certain place?
Oh, yeah.
Just get a soda
you
and eat a
McDonald's.
Sandwich.
Yes, that's my hangover cure.
Especially
McDonald's.
At McDonald's. I've drank plenty of sodas eating a breakfast with breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, man. I always get to a
sandwich of the breakfast type.
Yeah. An egg McMuffin. Other reason we ask, what is your hangover cure? The world has collectively dedicated tens of billions of dollars to scientific research over the course of the past few decades in search of the ever-elusive cure for cancer that has become the Holy Grail and the new pandemic going on. Now, while it seems maybe slight less admirable of a cause, a sizable chunk of that cash has also been allotted to fund research devoted to discovering a treatment for other ailments, and one of those includes hangovers. One man spent a full decade subjecting himself to miserable mornings in an attempt to figure out the best way to minimize how you hate yourself so much in the morning. Spent a decade working on this all by himself.
Oh, did he?
His findings have now been supported by another researcher at the University of Southern California. And according to the study, they did a 214 volunteer survey on this stuff. It is promising. They are not saying exactly what it is, but it is a mixture of vitamins and a food combination and things that occur naturally.
I've heard that.
So look, they say this, 67% of the population who took this felt much better immediately.
I'm in.
Which is impressive. They do not say when they're going to release this information.
Come on.
Just know it's out there. The German scientists figured out a cure for the hangover there. More of the random question coming up. 844-999-HOLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Random question, 844-999.
Random.
Hello, Cheyenne. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Random.
Hola. What's up, Cheyenne?
Are you there? Hola. Oh, wonderful. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Good. Just chilling out here in South Dakota.
What's the weather like in South Dakota this time of year?
About 60 degrees if we're lucky.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, that's not bad at all. All right, let's go this. I don't know much about the population animal-wise of South Dakota. I'm assuming bison, Ted? I don't know.
South Dakota?
Does that seem like a fair assumption?
Sure.
Okay. All right, Cheyenne, what would you say was your scariest insect encounter? Your scariest insect encounter.
That would have to be when I was... It's a story kind of similar to the one that Thrill told. I was drinking a Coke once at a wedding, and I had a bee sting me directly in the lip, and it made me look like I got punched in the mouth by Mike Tyson.
I had the same thing happen to me. That's why I don't drink out of typically cans.
I like your lip, bitch. Zap!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How long ago was this?
That was a while ago. That had to be back in, I think, 99 or something like that.
Okay, it's just the fact that once it stings you, man, you're right. I mean, everything on the inside, it's much different inside the mouth than it is on the outside of the body.
Do you, will you drink out of a can if you're outside, or do you do what my father does, just drop your hand over the top?
I'll still do it, but I look in it, like, every time before I take a drink.
Okay. Well, be lucky here, Cheyenne, that you're not living in the great state of Washington. That's the reason we asked you, what was your scariest insect encounter? A giant bee-killing insect dubbed... The murder hornet is making inroads in the United States, threatening crops that depend on pollination and humans who may get in its way. The Asian giant hornet is native to Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, but was detected in Washington State last year.
Yay!
And Canadian officials also found the hornet in British Columbia. The menacing orange and black hornets have workers that can grow an inch and a half long and queens that can get up to 2 inches in length. They have a painful sting that can be fatal to humans if they are allergic. Unlike most bees, hornets can sting more than once. Now, despite their name, people have very little to fear from them. The British Columbia Ministry of Agriculture said they are not interested in humans, pets, and large animals. Instead, the main concern is what these hornets do to honeybees. With its spiked, dagger-like mandibles, an Asian giant hornet can decapitate 40 honeybees per minute.
Wow.
Within hours, a swarm of these invasive hornets can purge an entire beehive. With a voracious appetite for the critical pollinator, it poses a threat to key crops in the Pacific Northwest.
Have you seen anything about this thing?
I have. And do you realize that when farmers grow in the area, if they are blueberry or raspberry farmers, that they keep hives of bees in the area to pollinate and to protect the crop?
Yeah, bees come in handy for such things.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I don't know a lot about insects, and of all the and we've all seen a million documentaries of nature, but the one I remember most was specifically about these things. And as they talked about these things, I want to say the show I watched, the guy was talking about like the 10 most painful stings and or bites you can get from an animal. So either number one or number two on the list were these things. And it shows this guy, and he has a full hazmat suit on with a face shield, okay? So he is with one other person, and they're talking to their face shields, and they're walking up to a known hive, nest, whatever. As they're walking toward it, and again, they're in the middle of the jungle or whatever, you start hearing, and you realize that's just the sound that these things make. All right, no big deal. Bees do that. It's just louder because they're bigger. Then when they get within, I don't know, 20, 30 feet of wherever the nest is, because you don't see the nest watching TV, there are two guard, what do they call these things? Killer hornet, whatever. Murder.
Oh, the murder hornet?
Murder hornet.
All right.
Murder hornet.
So the guy is describing him, and up until this point, I have never seen these before in my life. You just hear them, and obviously this is a guy who's a stingologist or whatever the right word is for it. So this guy knows. But they're wearing the hazmats, and when they get close to this nest, and you can hear the buzzing in the background, there are two guards outside of this nest, okay? And these guards, because their bodies are so big, they don't fly with their ass behind them. Their ass is hanging below
them. Right.
It's like if you put wings, right, and you just shot up in the air and your feet are below you. It's like that. but their ass curls up so the stinger is facing you. And my thought was, okay, well, they're not getting so close as to get stung. And the guy points out, we're not going to approach to get stung, but they have one other defense. And
they
as they're watching,
they spit the venom at you, don't they?
Yeah, out of the stick. And when he got sprayed, man, it's like spraying windshield wiper fluid on your car windshield. I mean, his face shield was inundated in this stuff, and he points out, like, that would sting too. That's how they protect. But the whole time I'm watching this, aside from just thinking, oh my God, I never want to have to deal with that, my real thought was, I am so glad that that is somewhere in the jungles of Japan or Korea, right? Not my problem. And then I read over the weekend, after somebody, like 20 people sent me links going, hey man, just know
well,
about
because
this.
We already have enough right now. You know what I mean? Other than finding out that there's a murder hornet in the only state.
That's what I mean.
Like enough. You know what I'm saying?
Somebody asked me this weekend. I said, I don't know.
I don't care.
I haven't even kept
here's up.
Here's the thing. We're supposed to stay inside. And look, a lot of people have gone outside. But typically when you go outside, you're still on your own property or your general vicinity. I do not want these things outside, man.
Here's an interesting tidbit about these things, right? So they all kind of get their orders in the morning from their general, all right? So you got the main queen, whatever, or they call it the scout. She says, hey, this is what you're going to do today.
He has a little red sash around his neck.
And then they follow. Like, they actually, whatever she says, they do every day, and that's their kind of their mandate. So in Japan, what bees have learned to do, and this is kind of crazy, this is how they kill, and just kind of dismember these groups of these hornets. The bees swarm the scout. Mm-hmm. Which is the bigger one, by the hundreds. And then they salivate around it to form like a bubble, like you would see, like if you were blowing bubbles.
Like a bit spit bubble?
A spit bubble, correct. Then they all vibrate violently. And what that does is it heats up the inside of the bubble. When the bubble is heated, the carbon monoxide and dioxide that gets in there kills the scout. So they basically gas the queen within a saliva bubble that they heat up to kill.
So this is the battle.
Carbon dioxide builds up inside the ball. The scout suffocates and dies, preventing it from relaying the coordinates of the hive to the rest of the swarm.
So this is your situation. One of them walks into your house party with 50 of you and can behead all of you. Or you can find another house party and 100 of you can attack one of them. And look, you still will not take it on physically. You lock him in the house and put an exhaust pipe through the
window. That way the scout can't go back and say, hey, there's a hive here. We need to go there and murder him.
So bees are dead is what you're saying.
If they don't kill that hornet, then the scout goes back and tells everybody else who was like the general back there, hey, dude, there's a big old beehive. Let's get in there.
I hear what you're saying. Just the numbers work in favor of the hornets. One of me equals 50 of you or 100 of you. And you have to suffocate me. The hornet just rolls up and says, I'm going to chop your head off, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
But they're here.
Random.
We used to think the snake fish was crazy. Well, you're living in Baltimore.
Listen, when the snake...
What's going on in Asia?
As far as invasive species go, right, you can talk about, oh, man, all these things that people flush on the toilet. Now there's these crazy-ass hornets. But in Maryland, they called a snakehead fish. And again, it was of Asian origin, but no one was aware of it. So when it first hit the news, they said, look, apparently there's a thing called a snakehead fish. And the reason we're reporting this, and I always remember this, there was a farmer in the middle of Maryland who swore that he saw fish walking across the street. So he calls 911, he calls wildlife and all these people. They all said he was crazy because obviously fish can't walk. About 2 days later, a few other people saw it. Then they realized this snakehead fish, right, people would dump it in a pond or a lake. And after it has eaten virtually everything in it, it would just get the hell out of the lake and walk to the next lake.
And it eats everything in its path. So
it destroys your lake.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what you have in there, this thing is just going to basically kill everything.
They had to kill whole lakes.
And the fact that they grew so fast. You have to remember, they're eating everything.
It's a buffet, man.
So, I mean, these things are getting fat quickly.
They can walk.
Like a carp, yeah.
That's a problem.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they can walk.
They walk from the stream over to a different pond.
Yeah, so like,
you say, well, it's only in this one area. Well, no. They walk across the street and get into another body of water.
See, this plays into my father's theory of life. And I remember being a kid. Jaws had been out, all this stuff. And, Shark Week and fired up in earnest, and I remember saying to him, I'm like, dude, are you scared of sharks? My father looked at me like I'm stupid. He's like, can they walk? I said, well, no. He goes, no, what's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you go where they're at if you think that's a problem? That is insanity and stupidity that you can't help people. Well, now there's the snakehead. So guess what, Dad? They can walk now, man. What are you going to do? Hello, Craig. Welcome to the men's room.
Ewoks and Wookiees.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, Craig, let's go with this one. Since you're celebrating the 4th.
Yeah,
what's Ewok his Wookiee?
Who fell and how far did they fall? Who fell and how far did they fall?
I fell, I would say, about 3 feet. This was in first grade, and I fell backwards onto the person behind me desk.
And what happened?
I hit my head on the... this was in first grade, so we had those like little swivel chairs on the on our desk, and I was leaning back in mine. Little did I know that the actual back of the chair was to my side. So I fell backwards, back of my head hit the edge of the other guy's desk, and I get up, start making my way to the nurse's office, and look at my hand, just covered in blood.
How did you cut your hands?
Oh, no, the back of my head was cut.
Oh, I got you. You opened up your head. Oh. Yes.
How bad was it? What was the damage in the end?
2 stitches.
Okay. See, I can't, I can't believe you even remember this.
And everybody else in the classroom thought I was dead.
What was the name of your first grade teacher?
Mrs. Hansen?
See, I can remember the name of my first grade teacher, but I can't remember anything else.
I am Ms. Volk,
as far as
Clifford.
As far as the school situation goes. I mean, I kind of remember the friends I ran with, but you asked me, who's my best friend in first grade? I'd be like, oh, God, I can't remember.
I think I can name it all, man.
I mean, maybe.
First grade teacher was Ms. Volk. Second grade, Ms. Clifford. Third grade, Ms. Rich. Fourth grade, Ms. Allie.
I remember we lived for recess.
Fifth grade,
mm-hmm.
Ms. Buckowitz, who was as sweet and as beautiful as her name suggests, Buckowitz. Sixth grade, I remember this guy. He was one of the coolest teachers you could have in upstate New York. Real cool, real friendly, student forward. The problem was his name was Mr. Daria.
Mr. Daria.
You can guess where things... dude, listen, don't feel bad for the guy. He was the coolest guy ever. So he was one of the few teachers, and I always remember this, because in sixth grade, man, whatever slang or horrible slur you can come up with, that's about the age you're going to come up with. So, and obviously, we all went diarrhea. We know it. He was one of those teachers that was so cool that even though it was Mr. Daria, no one ever called him Mr. Diarrhea. And that to me, if you're a teacher, you understand the testament that is.
The reason we ask who fell and how far, 3 frontline healthcare workers have mysteriously fallen out of a hospital window in Russia over the past 2 weeks.
Mysteriously, huh?
Heightening public attention to the working conditions for doctors, medical professionals amid the coronavirus pandemic. 2 of those healthcare workers are dead. 1 remains hospitalized and actually did survive the fall.
For now.
All 3 incidences, which are being investigated by Russian law enforcement authorities,
right,
have prompted intense discussion in the Russian press and on social media. An ambulance doctor in Voronezh, a city about 230 miles south of Moscow, he is in serious condition after falling from a hospital window on Saturday. He worked there for a number of years. He fell out of the same window where someone fell a week before.
Who also complained about some of the stuff?
There was a little bit, people were saying that the working conditions weren't real good.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were asking for more ventilators. They were asking for more masks. And the next thing you know, they fell out of the same window at this hospital.
That's weird. I mean, at least.
So strange.
It's a bad window.
So strange. Yeah.
At least here, if you say you don't get ventilators and all that, we just say you're lying. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're a liar, and we got everything you need, and we're going to send it to you. And all that's patently untrue. We know that. But at least we wouldn't go out of our way to murder them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We just call you a liar, rake you over the coals, assassinate your character, but you still get to live. We will not push you out of a window. It's sad that that's a good thing. But the cool thing we do here is just character assassinate you, not actually murder you. Hello, Ronnie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola!
Hola! Ronnie, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's go with this one. You can answer this one. At a job that you've had prior, what did they not pay you enough that you had to deal with? So not with your current job. Let's not go there.
Well, because I don't have a current job. That's good.
That works out on this one?
I actually, right out of high school, had a I had a job at a little self-serve gasoline mini mart.
Okay.
And it was kind of a terrible job. The one thing that I felt bad about is because, like, I was in probably a bad part of town, but one got robbed north of me and one got robbed south of me, and they did not rob me.
Well, at least you got lucky that way.
All right.
Well, I kind of felt bad about it because...
Well, don't feel bad.
Yeah, if there's like three houses in the neighborhood burglared and yours wasn't one of them, you can't feel too bad.
I feel bad that you got burgled, but I don't feel guilty that I was not included. Yeah. I guess maybe that's the way. But look, there's certain jobs, no matter what you do, you don't get paid enough. Mm-hmm. You work in fast food right now, right? You work at McDonald's, your ice cream machine goes down, there's going to be a fight, someone's going to trash the place. And apparently in Taco Bell, if you give the wrong order, people jump over the counter and assault you. You don't get paid enough for this.
No, you don't. That ice cream machine's always down.
A woman said she was in shock when a fight broke out on the flight that she was flying back home on Thursday. She and her children returned home from a family commitment in Los Angeles. That was not the worst part of the trip, though. A large brawl broke out on board the aircraft. We were in shock, really. We couldn't believe it was happening. It was scary. I had my kids with me, and everyone was like, oh, my God. What started as an argument between passengers, she said, turned into assault. A passenger said other passengers were being too loud when he was trying to sleep. He was beaten bloody. She said passengers were urging Spirit employees to help. Everyone was like, why aren't you doing anything? And they were like, we don't get paid enough to deal with this.
And it's Spirit Airlines.
The pilots made an emergency landing in Des Moines, Iowa for 2 hours. She said the culprits changed out of their bloody clothes when the plane landed. They went and changed their clothes before the marshals came. By the way, the guy who addressed them about being too loud or whatever his deal was because he wanted to sleep, he was the guy who got arrested. Passengers were shocked that the people involved were allowed to come back onto the flight. Police said they didn't have jurisdiction to arrest anyone because where the assault happened was not over Iowa when they landed.
I'm going to remember that.
That is the honest to God truth. They didn't clean the blood, sat there for 2 hours. Everyone's sucking everyone's coronavirus in, she said. Good times.
That is insanity.
More of the random question coming up. 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
We're going to say your guess is as good as my count. The categories will be football, movies, and your favorite delicious salad dressing, Steve. Your guess is as good as mine coming up after emails on our random question. Question 844-999-OLA.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Bill.
Random,
welcome random, to the men's room.
Random. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hola.
Random, Bill, welcome to the program. Random question. Question.
Random.
All right, let's see here. Okay, Bill, what would you say is the one thing that you are doing differently now during the lockdown? What's the biggest change for you?
Probably the biggest change is I'm drinking more.
All right. And
are you drinking? Are you experimenting, or are you sticking with what you know?
Oh God, no! I'm drinking a Men's Room Red right now.
You are nice.
Excellent work.
Okay, very good. So you haven't? You don't go? Do you make a run to the liquor store and get everything, or you just kind of pick it up as you need?
Well, typically when I come home from work, I try and buy, you know, 2-3 six packs to get me through.
All right. And what are you still, you're still working?
I am still working.
And what are you doing?
I'm a fireman.
Okay. And what time are you getting off work?
Well, typically I get off at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, so you're working the overnight.
Well, I work 24s.
Ah, okay.
Wow.
Okay. Hey, by the way, when you guys get a call, what percentage of the time is there actually a fire?
Oh, maybe 5-6%.
Okay. Where are you stationed out of?
City of Everett.
Okay, so you wouldn't know about my situation. I'm convinced there's an arsonist in my neighborhood.
Well, let me ask you this, man. If 5 or 6% of your calls are actually fine, because like I would say this with policemen, 95% of your calls involve a naked person who's stupid, right? So what do you think they should train future firemen to really, really do if you're actually going to become a fireman?
Well, the majority of it is emergency medical.
All right.
And you got to learn to deal with naked people that are...
You got to deal with naked people.
Not what you really want to see.
Yeah, right? But wait a minute. Here's the difference. Now, as a police officer, if I see a naked person, and let's face it, the general public does not deal with naked people because we don't have to. So the cops show up, but I might physically have to interact with said naked person. Like, chase them down the street and tackle them. That's why if I'm a cop, no offense, I'm shooting your ass. Because but as a fireman, I mean, how much... Do you physically have to interact or more just see them?
Well, we rarely physically interact.
Uh-huh.
You see a lot of stuff you don't want to see. cops have it way worse. That's why everybody hates them.
Well, yeah, but you guys are also there for EMT purposes and those calls as well. So that's kind of part. Okay.
That's the majority of our work.
I got to ask you this because I worked overnights for a couple of years. And the one interesting dynamic, you said you work at 24, is if you're getting off at 8 o'clock in the morning. I did overnights for 6 days a week. So there was one night that I could actually try to become a normal human being, go to bed at a decent hour. That never worked out because of just the way your body's clock is already in place. But it is a very weird dynamic when you realize, like, on a Friday, even though you're still working on a Saturday or whatever, you want to go get a beer. You're done with your shift. It's 6:37 in the morning. And you realize not only is it a weird time to drink just because of the way your body's clock is, even though you just got off work.
Sure.
You know, you just worked the 7-8 hour shift. But there's a select group of people who also work the overnight. And there was kind of a diner in the town that I grew up in, Ted, a lot like the one where you tried to run over the manager when you dined and dashed. They had beer.
Unnecessary.
It wasn't even a manager. I think it was just...
Yeah. Unnecessary as far as the description of the place.
It was like a diner you liked. Still ate there.
Well, it was like an old silver box
car
diner.
And you're trying to run a man over.
But the thing is that they had draft beer. So they didn't have a liquor license, but they had beer. So there was a group of people that, you know, you would run into on a regular basis who also, whether they were minors working an overnight shift or whatever... And they were in there eating breakfast and just, you know, doing their happy hour.
Sure.
But you get the weirdest looks from people, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning when you're sitting at a counter drinking beer. On a Saturday morning. You know, like this guy over here. Look at this guy. You want to tell him, like, look, dude, I just worked 10 hours. I'm going to bed here in a minute.
If you're going to drink something with breakfast, it's got to be a Bloody Mary or a, what do you call it, a mimosa or...
The worse your alcoholic problem is, the more you can get away with it. Right? If I have a beer in the morning, that's bad. But if I drink something that's 30% alcohol and put some kind of fruit juice, then it's all good. Because these people don't know they have problems.
Exactly.
Hey, just one quick question. You say, like, a lot of the calls you get, obviously the majority are medical things. If I call for an ambulance, why does the fire department show up? If I say, hey, my wife's having a heart attack, like, I just need the EMTs, why does everyone show up?
Well, because typically you send the closest unit, because we could do CPR, we can give aspirin, we can start the process, and we wait for the paramedics to show up that, well, you know, they're the glorified EMTs. And so you always get
glorified EMTs. Zap!
I can tell you're a fireman.
I'm on the third beer.
Anyway,
zap!
That's why. They send the closest unit because if you're truly having a life or death emergency, you really want the EMTs.
Yeah.
Yes! Why would we call them? If someone broke into my house, I don't call Domino's.
And now I got a fire truck in front of my house and people think I'm burning my house down instead of this medical emergency I'm having.
Like, no, I severed an
artery.
This
is not the right image I want portrayed to my neighbor.
I'm clumsy, not an arsonist.
Hola! The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.